This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
This is Sarah. Sarah and Mike have two sons, and they lead a house group, a wonderful growth group down in Meanwood. They've been around forever, and we love them to bits. And she's a great communicator. You'll love this message. So lean forwards. Turn on your ears, turn on your minds, and allow God to speak to you through what she's going to share. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Sarah. I ask you to release in her your gifts. And would you plant in our hearts a word in season? Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here this morning. And God's not finished doing what he's been doing this morning. I'm really expectant that he's going to continue to speak to us. And are we ready to respond to what he wants to say to us? So many of you will know that I grew up without my dad. And I became a follower of Jesus when I was 7. I heard a talk when I was young that Jesus could be like a dad to us. Now that sold it for me. If I didn't have a dad and he was going to be my dad, then I wasn't going to turn away from that. I didn't really know who that Jesus was, but I was instantly attracted to him. I desperately wanted a dad. I look back and think how simple it seemed back then. And sometimes these days, I actually find it much harder to invite Jesus in as I did back then. Now, last week, Sally explained that how we see Jesus can affect the way that we live our lives, and that however we see Jesus now, there is more that we can learn. There is more that can be revealed. For me, I see Jesus as my Father. However, I sometimes struggle to feel like he really knows me, he really understands me. Does he really know what I'm going through? Now, in preparing this talk, my husband and I have had a few challenging weeks. With 2 poorly children, no sleep. My children both had chicken pox, and my youngest also had a virus and an eye infection. They both constantly needed me. They were just not sleeping, and as I was trying to sleep too, my husband next to me is snoring. Now, please don't hear me wrong. I'm not complaining because I love my children and I love my husband. And it seems a bit trivial now because they're getting better. And I know that people are going through much worse things than this. But at the time, I thought to myself, does Jesus really know how it feels? Can Jesus, as a man, really relate to my life as a mother? Does that sound familiar, or am I the only one? I wonder if you can relate to this statement. Jesus couldn't possibly understand what I'm going through right now. After all, he's never had to experience that. He is God, after all. Now, I'm sure we've all said, or at least thought, something along those lines before, whether in frustration or not. And our relationship with Jesus is a two-way process, and it's core to the understanding of Christianity. And I want to emphasize that as a relationship, it is a two-way process. Jesus becoming human was for God a way to bridge that gap between humanity. And at the same time, it provides us with an understanding of who God is that enables us to come to him and relate to him better. The experiences that we have in common with Jesus allow us to draw closer to God and him to us. It's a two-way process. When Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth 2,000 years ago, he was fully God, but he was also fully human. He experienced everything there was to being a man, and therefore can completely understand, and identify with everything that humans go through. Now, even though Jesus came to earth as a man, we can see that throughout the Bible that he is very relatable to women too. Jesus personally knows what it's like to suffer and to experience hardship. He understands. He can sympathize with us. He can empathize with us in ways that no one else can. But even as I say this, some of you could be sitting here thinking, but how? And if so, why do I still feel so alone? Why do I still struggle? Now we're going to look at a particular passage and a particular scene in Jesus' life in Mark chapter 14. This emphasizes to us both the physical humanity of Jesus and the emotional reality of his circumstance in his life. This is a scene of raw emotion and confusion, where we see Jesus surrounded by, yet let down by, his closest friends call him out to God. So let's read Mark 14, 32 to 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." We're going to look at some of the human characteristics of Jesus that he displays in this passage, drawing on some other examples in the Bible, which demonstrates that Jesus can identify with us in different situations and circumstances. My hope and my prayer is that we will understand Jesus in a deep and profound way that challenges our perceptions of how we can approach him, knowing that he knows what we are going through. Jesus knows what it is like to experience heartache, sadness, and sorrow. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was deeply distressed and troubled. Another version of this story in Luke records that he was in agony and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus describes himself as exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. The passage says that he fell to the ground, a posture that clearly emphasizes his agony. Now, there are several instances in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the biographies of Jesus, that speak of his grief. He wept over the conditions of Jerusalem. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. He was deeply saddened by the death of loved ones, Jesus wept. He was sorrowed by humanity's rejection of God. Isaiah 53:3 says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem." Jesus knew busy, he knew hectic. Most of the book of Mark that we are studying takes place over a period of 3 years. It was like a jammed pack to-do list. Jesus became well known very quickly. Crowds followed him, waiting and needing things from him. And I can definitely relate to this busyness. It's really hard for me to leave something unfinished. Once I've started something, I need to finish it. I just don't want to stop until I've completed it. And this can lead to frustration. It can lead to tiredness. Jesus retreating with a few disciples to Gethsemane reminds us of several scenes where Jesus goes off to a quiet place, taking a few disciples with him to pray, to rest, and returning then to his busy life of ministry. Jesus knew what it was like to be busy. Jesus knew what it was like to be let down by others and ultimately to be betrayed. At Gethsemane, Jesus wanted his closest disciples to watch with him, those who'd been with him from the very beginning. So he asked them to wait for him and keep watch. But they just couldn't stay awake. After each episode of praying, Jesus found his disciples sleeping. When he desired friendship and comfort, there wasn't any available. Jesus even gave his disciples a second, a third chance. But they still abandoned him in his time of need. Now, this was not the first time that Jesus had been let down by those around him. At the very beginning of his ministry, he was betrayed by his own family, which later you can read about in Mark chapter 3. The context of this drama in the Garden of Gethsemane is the scheming by other religious leaders to find an excuse to kill him. And that's at the beginning of this chapter. And it is Gethsemane where Judas, one of the 12 disciples, sells Jesus out for money. And the scene is set for Jesus' trial and execution. Jesus really knew what it was like to be let down by those he trusted and those around him. Jesus knew what it was like to be alone. Jesus' disciples, although they thought they would never desert him, unfortunately, they did. The events in the Garden of Gethsemane and what followed must have been a very lonely time for Jesus, as he endured those horrific events. Shortly after this scene in Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest friends, Peter, who in the turmoil of Jesus' arrest and trial denied even knowing him. And then the ultimate abandonment of Jesus was when God, his Father, had to turn his back on him on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Talk about feeling alone. The closest relationship that could ever have been had was now torn apart. There was never a greatest distance between two people as there was at this time between the Father and the Son. No greater feeling of desertion or loneliness could have ever been experienced than what Jesus went through for us on that cross. Jesus also separated himself from his disciples. The experience was to be his and his alone. Jesus knew what it was like to be alone. Now, we have been using the Gospel of Mark as our text for a few weeks, and this scene at the Garden of Gethsemane is at an interesting point in this story. This scene bridges between the two sections within this book of Mark. The first section tells us about the ministry of Jesus, beginning with the gathering of the disciples and telling the stories of what Jesus did and the stories that he told. The second section tells the story of Jesus' betrayal, his death, and resurrection. Something that we have just been remembering through communion, and we will focus on as we approach Easter. The scene at the Garden of Gethsemane joins these two parts of the story together. It is the height of Jesus' ministry, yet the beginning of a horrible chapter, and a moment in which the full humanity of Jesus is revealed to us. Let me read the passage again. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They didn't know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So we see that Jesus was emotional and distressed, alone and let down by the people around him. I wonder, have you ever had an experience like this? Most of us have at some point in our lives. For me, I can remember a time when I was mentoring and supporting a person who was really unwell. I took all the steps that I could to help them, but it was pretty serious. Then someone said to me that I would be to blame if they didn't pull through. Now, I knew in my head that I had done everything right, followed my training, taken advice, and so on. But the words spoken over me were so damaging that I just broke down. At that point, I was in my bedroom and I just sobbed. I called a friend, which really helped, but I just couldn't stop crying. That pain, that feeling was just horrible. And in that moment, I cried out to God. And I remember saying, "Please, Jesus, take this pain and make my tears stop, because I just can't bear it anymore." Instantly, my tears stopped. And I even remember trying to think of something really sad to get my tears back. Or am I going to cry again? Because it was really odd that they just stopped, but not at the same time, because I'd asked for it. I had asked him to stop my tears. The sense of peace was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. Jesus met me in that place. He comforted me, and he didn't let me be alone. And I look back at that moment now, and I wonder if that's because he knew what it was like. I wonder, is there anything in your life where you just need to fully hand it over to God and just cry out to him? Jesus' response to the turmoil in his life, he prayed. And his prayer was one of honesty and intimacy. At Gethsemane, Jesus says, "Abba, Father, take this cup away from me." And the word Abba is intensely personal and intimate. It's like a child saying, "Daddy." Jesus needed that intimacy with God, and so do we. It's important to know that Jesus can relate to anything that we're going through, so we can be honest and intimate with me. Now, my son Ethan will come to me with confidence if he's upset, if he's happy, or just has something that he wants to tell me. Even if he knows that he has done something wrong, or even if he knows it will upset me, he will still come to me with confidence, and I will always give him that unconditional love. This is how we should approach Jesus, knowing that no matter what, he loves us and has open arms when we approach him. Earlier I said it's a two-way process. Some of these experiences that Jesus had show us that he can relate to us in our humanity. At the same time, when we realize that Jesus had these human experiences, they allow us to be able to relate to him better. When we go through times of sorrow, betrayal, being lonely, being busy, we know that we can approach Jesus openly and honestly, and that we can approach him intimately because he has been through that too. In our lowest times, rather than thinking, "Why, Jesus?" we can know that he knows the pain and suffering too. So let me finish by praying for us. So, Father, my prayer for us this morning is that whatever we are going through, may we be able to approach you, Jesus, with the confidence that you fully understand. May we be able to approach you with the honesty and intimacy that you have modeled yourself. And may we see the picture of you with your arms open wide, just saying, "Come. Come as you are. I love you, all of you, and I'm here and I'm waiting."
Why don't you stand? I'm just going to ask Sarah to pray that prayer again and give you an opportunity to just think it through again. So we've reflected on a number of things today. And for those of you who are women, we've reflected on that and motherhood. We've reflected on Jesus dying for us and shared communion together. We reflected on the fact that he knows who we are and we can get no more about him. Lots of things to think about. And we have to draw our service to a close, but I don't want you to leave without capturing what it is that he's saying to you this morning. So as we finish, take the opportunity to ask someone to pray with you. If there's nobody near you, come up to me and then Sarah, and we'll find somebody to pray with you. Alison's got one particular word to share, which may be for somebody.
A couple. Just Naomi, who's actually in the Naomi Nixon is in Kids at the moment, but she just passed on a word that she'd had a dream about talking to David, actually, about people who were struggling with sleep. And that struggle with sleep was just preventing them from moving forward or from getting close to Jesus. And she just felt that that might be somebody here. She tentatively said in the dream, the name of one name that came up in the dream was Patrick. So I don't know quite how that relates, but if you are a Patrick or you know a Patrick who's struggling, or anyway, we're offering that as if Jesus is saying anything, that just respond and go for it. When Sarah was talking about her own experience of having that word spoken to her, I just had a quick picture of somebody who was looking around and going, could you just ask Jesus to come and help me with this? Could you just come and ask Jesus to do it, to take this away from me? And I just felt like Jesus was just saying, like she said at the end, you come, just come to me, you ask. So perhaps there's people here who just need to take courage and ask and go for it. And just one more, Dawn. It's Dawn, isn't it? I didn't have a chance to share it with you, but last week I had a picture in the worship, and it was in heaven. They were just preparing for a massive party, and they were putting out all the party plates and the balloons, and it was just like they are preparing for a big party. And I felt like it was to do with you and your relationship. They're celebrating in heaven as they see you walk towards Jesus and just engage with him. They're celebrating. It's such a great thing. If you're just next to Dawn, would you just like to just pray, put your hands on? Lord, we bless what you're doing. I just bless, Lord, what you're doing there. I just thank you for the truth that heaven celebrates. Even when we turn our faces towards you, heaven celebrates. So whatever you have for her in that picture, Lord, I pray that you would just come now and just bless her, Lord. Would you just deeply engrave that certainty inside her that she is loved, and that you're just welcoming her and celebrating her advances towards you.
So I'll ask Sarah to pray that prayer once more. And the sleep thing is important. There was sleep in the scripture that she read. So if you're struggling with sleep, this is an opportunity to receive prayer for that. Sarah, do you want to do that? And then I'll finish.
Yeah. So Father, we pray that we would be able to approach you, Jesus, with the confidence that you fully understand. May we approach you with the honesty and intimacy that you yourself has modeled to us. And I pray that we would see that picture, that image of you with your arms wide open, just saying, come. Come, I love you, all of you. And I'm waiting.
So do respond to him and take the opportunity to have somebody pray for you. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard. Have a great week. If you have children, please go and get them now.